Hi, this is Jeff Siegel, the wine curmudgeon, and we're here today talking to James Tidwell, the sommelier at the Four Seasons Resort in suburban Dallas, actually in Irving, but I always start to giggle when I say Irving. James, thank you very much for agreeing to do this.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what we're going to talk about, James is actually one of the most expert wine people in the entire world, and he actually has initials after his name that prove that. James just recently became a master sommelier, which in James's case was almost an 8-year process, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that, how one does that, and then also just, you know, some general stuff about wine and what people can do to look for good value, good quality wine. But tell me, 8 years to get your master sommelier, what was that like?
It was a long process. It was a fun process. It was a difficult process. It was nerve-wracking at times, but I'll tell you, I wouldn't trade it for the world, and it really is the journey to get there that's the best part. You meet a lot of great people along the way, both as your peers and colleagues in the process and also as your mentors and instructors in the program. So it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey. I would not give it up for anything, and look forward to being able to help others as I was helped.
One of the questions I always get when people ask me about wine, James, is, well, obviously then, Jeff, that means that you can smell a wine and know exactly where it's from and how it's made, and which I can't do most of the time. But from what I understand, that's actually part of the process of getting your MS degree.
It is. I like to call it CSI wine because you do take clues, and there are established clues in the glass. Every wine has certain markers, certain descriptors, that if you observe and you're attuned to them, can pick up on them, that you take those clues and use deductive reasoning to figure out what's in the glass. It really is like CSI. You take your clues and you come to your conclusion. The difference is we don't have DNA testing come through in the last 5 minutes of the program, but I wish we did sometimes, because it took me 4 years to get through that tasting part. It's very difficult.
Did you, for this one, you got the final, when you just recently completed it, you did some tasting for that?
Yes, absolutely.
Can you maybe go through one of the wines that you did and talk about that process?
Well, you never know what the wines are that you actually tasted, so I couldn't really go through any one particular wine that I had in my exam, because I don't know what they were, and I'll never know.
You'll never find out.
Never,
you just have to guess.
You never find out. You either got them or you didn't, and you establish points by going through and describing the wine correctly, because it's not just picking up a glass and being able to say, oh, this is Pinot Noir from a certain region, Russian River, in 2005 vintage. That's more of a parlor trick. Mm-hmm. What the Master Sommelier program is trying to establish is, do you know wine? Do you know classic wines? Do you know what wines are supposed to be? And so their process makes you not only tell what the wine is, but use those descriptions, and you establish points based on those descriptions.
That's even more difficult.
Exactly, and then additional points based on your conclusions, and you have to give a reasoning for your conclusion in addition to that. So it's quite a process, but it really does make you know wine, as opposed to being able to just pick up wine and say what it is.
That's interesting. So it's kind of like defending your PhD thesis without you having written the thesis.
Absolutely. That's absolutely it. You do, in a way, write the thesis, in that you go through and do your description, and then at the end say, okay, I believe this is an old world wine because it's earthy and has these characteristics to it, or I believe it's cool climate because it's very acidic and it has unripe fruits to it, or various things like that. So there are defenses at the end, but you have to establish your thesis within about 3 minutes. Instead of over the course of a couple of months.
James and I have talked about this before. James is also one of the people behind the Texas Sommelier Conference, and one of my favorite parts of the Sommelier Conference is where young sommeliers, people who want to learn about the business, who want to learn how to do it, actually take a test similar, I'm assuming, to what you went through.
Similar, yes.
And I've always said it would be really better, really more fun, if we could watch them do this test as a spectator sport, like football.
Right.
And you could have people cheering, going, yeah, it's been on a while, yeah.
We've considered that, but it is a competition, and there's already a lot of pressure. When you're in a room and you're facing a panel of three judges for tasting, or three judges for your theory, or you're in a room full of master sommeliers or experts who are grilling you or having you do tasks related to service. That's already nerve-wracking enough. I couldn't imagine having a whole gallery of spectators in there, too.
Hey, I'm just trying to make wine more popular, James.
I understand.
All right.
Certainly that's how NASCAR became popular. I'm not sure we're going to get quite there yet, but we might one day.
What was the most difficult part of this 4, 5, 8-year process? Was it the tasting?
Well, the tasting is the part that I had the most trouble with, and there could be any number of reasons for that. Some people it's theory, other people it is service. If you're not on the floor doing service every night, service can trip you up, and those are the three parts of the actual master sommelier exam itself: service, theory, and tasting. I didn't pass the tasting for a while, but I think some of that was just realizing that I could pass the tasting. I'd always consider that my Achilles heel, so I would get into the exam and be nervous about it, which of course doesn't lead to the best deductive reasoning. So there are any number of reasons that can happen. But that was the most difficult part for me. The good part about that was that in going through this process and not having passed it the first time, one really learns wine. Some of the sommeliers I respect the most are ones who've had to take the exam more than once. Now, there are some that have taken it once and passed everything, and they are absolutely amazing themselves. So I think it just depends on the individual person.
And it's not, I should emphasize, it's not unusual to have to take the exam numerous times.
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, it's unusual to pass it all on your first try, because you can pass at the master's level once you actually get to the master sommelier exam. You can pass that in parts. And so you have 3 years to pass all three parts, service, theory, and tasting. If you don't, you get reset back to zero parts, which is what happened to me last year. I didn't pass the tasting portion in 3 years and got reset back to zero.
Oh,
had to take all three parts this year, but did manage to pass all three parts at once this year. In an even more unusual case, of the four people who passed the exam this year, three of us got reset last year and came back this year and passed all three parts. It's actually never happened before, as I understand it. So it's a testament to perseverance as much as anything. And that's really a lot of this exam. Training, perseverance are two of the keys to this, and a lot of discipline, because there is no class for this. You can go and get refreshers, but there's no school for sommeliers, really. There's one place that's now certifying based on the master sommelier exam, but really there are no schools for sommeliers. So you have to have a lot of self-discipline, self-motivation to do it.
All right, well, let's switch topics a little bit, because most of the people who read The Wine Curmudgeon and are going to listen to this are already intimidated by the word sommelier.
Oh, I hope not.
Let alone having to take a test where you actually have to tell what a wine is by smelling it. James, and you know wine, especially value wine, as well as anybody I know. What are some basic tips for people, some good pointers, if they want to go out and buy just some wine to have with dinner? What would be a couple of 2-3 good tips for them?
Well, I always tell people that wine is about relationships. And my friends in the business roll their eyes when they hear me say that, because they know the speech that's coming next. But I really do believe that wine is about relationships, whether it's the vines to the land, or the winemaker to the vines and wine, or whether it's the consumer to the wine, or you know, friends around the table. Wine seems to be about relationships to me. So my first tip is to go establish a relationship with a wine shop or a store where you feel comfortable. If someone tries to pressure you into buying things, leave. There are many other places out there that are more than willing to help you, that are more than willing to listen to what you have to say. So find somewhere that you feel comfortable. If you have notes, or you know particular wines that you enjoyed in the past, let them know, because that gives us, as people who recommend wine, more information to go on. And then a lot of people, especially in restaurants, seem to be nervous about stating their price range. And honestly, I would love it if everyone came in and said, I would like something in a range, and tell me what the range is, or at least give me some ideas. Point to the list, point to a wine on the shelf if you don't feel comfortable, whatever the case may be, wherever you are, and say, I'd like something like this. That way I have an idea of where we're going in terms of price, because I don't ever want to appear to be gouging anyone, and yet I want people to get the wines they want. And so if you want a $150 wine, I want to recommend it. If you want a $5 bottle of wine in the grocery store, somebody should be able to recommend that. So I think those are keys.
No, that's all terrific advice, and that's one of the first rules that I try to tell people is it's your money. If
right.
you're buying a pair
Absolutely.
Of shoes, you never let somebody tell you how to spend your money to
right.
buy a pair of shoes. But with wine, we all get so intimidated.
Right.
All right. Well, listen, I think that should just about do it for today. Listen, I want to thank you very much,
James. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. And now you'll be back on the giving tests now, and you'll be testing other people to get the sommelier?
Yes, I do get to instruct at the lowest level, which is the introductory course. I have to go through a process of getting accreditation to teach in higher courses. I'm very happy to say that the first introductory course I will get to teach is actually at my own hotel in April. So very thrilled about that and looking forward to, as I said, giving back as so many people gave to me in this program. So if anybody has questions or needs assistance, I'm available.
Well, listen, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
This is Jeff Siegel with Wine Curmudgeon. May your glass always be full, and may you always enjoy who you're drinking with. Thanks very much.